When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome into the final hour of Gwynn and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby. We got Braden Soprenant here with me. We also have Adam Klug here with me. And we will have Sammy Levitt with us at around 5:45 later this hour. He's going to update us on what's going on up at Dodger Stadium, talk a little bit about last night. I'm glad that we asked him if he had his poncho ready because he needed one, and he did have his poncho ready.
And it wasn't a curse.
And it wasn't a curse. You're right. We have to bring that to his attention. But I think it's time now to focus on tonight. And when I say that, we're going to go back to the Ohtani at bats from yesterday. But tonight is a big night for the Padres. And they're two games back of the Dodgers for the National League West title. And Dylan Cease is going to be pitching for the Padres tonight. Jack Flaherty is pitching for the Dodgers tonight. This is going to be a dandy. And it means a lot. I mean, these next two games for the Dodgers and the Padres will determine basically the entire season and how they end up. And I can't even believe we're sitting here right now with five games to go in the season and the Padres are right on the doorstep of tracking down the Dodgers for the division.
Still a lot of work to do. I mean, if you look at the odds of winning the division, it's at 12% right now to win the division. Again, if the Padres win tonight, win over the Dodgers tonight, and all of a sudden it will move up just a little bit. It'll go up to 18, or actually it will go up to about 30-something percent with the win tonight. So, and again, it's continue to put pressure on the Los Angeles Dodgers. The more pressure you put on them, the better it's going to be going into the weekend when the Dodgers have to win in order to prevent the Padres from potentially doing something. But again, Padres control their own destiny, so they got five games. They win five in a row here to finish the season. They will be division champs and have a first-round bye. Get a loss anywhere in there, and all of a sudden you got to start relying on some other results. But take care of what you could take care of. Control your controllables, and we'll see what Dylan Cease has tonight against Jack Flaherty.
Is that something that you tell your football team? Control your controllables?
Control the controllables.
Because you've said that a couple times here in the last couple days.
Definitely. So
I like it. It's a good way of putting it because you're right. There's some things that you just can't control, and you can't worry about those things.
Yeah, I got that Well, we say it as a program all the time, control what you can control. And you know, when I'm working with Brock Ungerich over at USD, he says it all the time to his baseball team, control what you can control. I mean, you can't worry about things that you have no impact on. And however every other team participates, though, and how they play, as you have no say in what that is. So go out there and get the job done, win tonight, and we'll see what happens tomorrow with more pressure.
One thing that I think is true for at least this season is the Dodgers don't seem to be as confident when they play the Padres. The Padres have been so good against them this year, and with the Padres right there, I have to think that the Padres are living rent-free in the Dodgers' head in that clubhouse. And Chris Rose agrees with me. He, on his podcast, was talking about this very same thing. Sorry, Adam, I didn't give you much time.
Don't think I'll be asking Miggy Rowe about hitting into a game-ending triple play and leaving Shohei Ohtani on deck in a 4-2 game. So now the Padres, not only do they clinch a playoff berth, they're two back of the Dodgers in the West. Now I want to ask you, since the Padres lead the season series 8-3, and knocked the Dodgers out of the postseason 2 years ago in the divisional round, does San Diego have a, quote, mental upper hand against Big Brother up the I-5?
Yeah. I don't know if there's no other way to really put it. Yeah, they do. Does that mean they're going to, like, win a series against them if they play them? Like, no. It doesn't mean that for sure. But you'd rather go into a postseason series with those victories under your belt. They're not just two games back of the Dodgers for the NL West. They're two games back of the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. If they somehow surpass the Dodgers, they'll get a bye. We've talked about it. Like, they have that feeling. Orsillo saying, is this the Padres' year? They got all the momentum in the world right now.
I think the Dodgers would say, listen, it doesn't matter. Yeah, they've taken care of us this year. They knocked us out of the playoffs. That stuff doesn't matter. You go to the other clubhouse and they're going to be like, hell yeah, it matters. Because it would matter to me if I were on the losing side of it.
I mean, they illustrated that perfectly. And I believe that was Trevor Plouffe with Chris Rose there, and he would definitely know. He's been in clubhouses and all that stuff. But whenever I ask Tony these things, he's always very dismissive of whether or not a team is letting another team in their head. But I can't think of any other way. And Tony did say earlier in the show that, yes, the Dodgers probably are thinking and feeling the heat that the Padres are putting on them right now. But I'd much rather be the hunter than the hunted.
Well, yeah, that's always it's always a lot more fun to hunt instead of be hunted.
Oh, yeah, no one wants to be hunted.
But that being said, the way I find it amazing that we're even talking about this after a couple of years ago, and it seemed like the Padres could never get over the Dodger hump until they did it in the postseason in 2022. So, you know, I think from that point forward, I think the Padres, at least the core group of players that are part of this organization right now that were there in 2022 and before, and the ones that are under contract for a long period of time, they know, as Joe Musgrove said, they know what they've matured as a group. They know, you know, what it means to win baseball games. They know how to, they know how to put these wins together. And, you know, I think they flipped it a little bit where they've punched the Dodgers in the mouth. They're not intimidated by Los Angeles, anymore. And whether or not they'd ever admit to that is a different story. I don't think the Dodgers would ever admit that they're thinking about the Padres at all. You know, what people say in the media is obviously a lot different than what they're thinking on the inside, but, you know, the fact that the Dodgers are, you know, the Padres have had their number this year, and it's been a tough battle for LA, you know, this season, and hopefully that continues, because this team's still a good ball club. The Dodgers are, they're still the best team in the National League, and they have the best record in all of baseball. And the Padres, at any point, I mean, the next 2 days could go rough for the Padres. You never know, but take care of business tonight and you'll be in a good spot. I mean, you're only a game and a half behind the Phillies for second best record in the National League, two games behind the Dodgers for the best record. They already passed the Brewers by a game as well. So yeah, with a division championship would come a first round bye, and you know the number one seed is still in play. If we continue to put things steps on a ladder, mm-hmm, of different things to accomplish going into the weekend.
I really think too that the Dave Roberts has an incredible amount of pressure on him because he's been managing this team for years and years and years and years and years. And they did win the World Series in 2020. But mostly Dave Roberts' tenure with the Dodgers has been them falling short of a World Series title. So I have to think that Dave Roberts is feeling the heat more so maybe than the players, because I don't know that they're going to fire him, but he cannot come up short again if you're in his mind. I can't come up short this year or else I might be gone.
I mean, we don't know what the relationship is, like with the Dodgers in the front office. But, you know, a lot of the time, these front offices do run a lot of the organization in terms of what gets called. And if Dave Roberts says yes to a lot of things and the Dodgers continue to win and let the front office run things, then he'll be the guy that still continues to be there for Los Angeles. I mean, I agree with you. Eventually, I don't know how many times you can keep rolling it out there and getting the same result in the postseason, but... You know, I honestly think you gotta think about what Eno Saris said last year on Benton Woods about the amount of games that you need to play to make it a fair shot in the playoffs. The playoffs are a crapshoot in Major League Baseball with how baseball is. Just baseball-y things, as we like to say on the Annie and Elston show.
Baseball-y things.
Annie says baseball-y things all the time. What did Chris say on the round table? He said the only thing that can keep the Padres out of this spot is just baseball. I mean, that's what's weird about baseball. So, you know, a lot of it is baseball things, and sometimes you can't control that. And I don't necessarily know if they have a better answer for a manager spot, but no, he definitely feels the pressure. It'd be embarrassing to lose the division when you had the lead and you've done it all every year, and it's almost been like a guarantee, with the exception of the 1 year the Giants got hot out of nowhere. But
the 3 years.
Well, I'm talking about more recently. It was like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I see.
Because they had won like 10 straight.
And they won like 106 games or something insane like that.
Right. So, I mean, it's only a matter of time, I think, eventually. But they have pressure on them. They were the team going into the season that was expected to win the World Series because they spent so much money. They got Ohtani. The team was loaded. The Padres cut payroll. They relied on a lot of rookie, right? I mean, they were hoping Jurickson Profar was going to have a good year. He was cut last year. The Rockies cut him last year, and now he's an all-star for the Padres, back in the Padres organization. So I like this underdog mentality the Padres have. I know they're getting some hype now. I don't think they're going to buy into it. They seem laser focused and go out and light up Jack Flaherty tonight like they've done in the past, and hopefully put more pressure on the Dodgers come Thursday.
I don't think there's any individual figure in all of baseball who's got more pressure on him for the postseason than Dave Roberts.
Aaron Boone's got a lot of pressure because he's the Yankees manager.
I could see Aaron Boone having more pressure than Dave Roberts.
Cliff, a gap between whoever's number three.
Oh, yeah,
they have mounds of pressure on those guys.
Yeah. A little bit of an update on we were talking about earlier. There's this hurricane on the East Coast is really, really messing up everything sports related, and of course we are more concerned about the people and everybody being safe and all that, but it is going to mess up a lot of the baseball seedings and possibly the playoffs and college football. But Joel Sherman is tweeting that if the Diamondbacks are eliminated over the weekend and the Mets and the Braves have not yet settled seeding, it will be the commissioner's discretion whether to play Monday for seeding purposes. So Rob Manfred would end up making that decision. From David O'Brien, Brian Snicker, the manager of the Braves, said it was his understanding that if Monday's second game isn't needed for postseason purposes, meaning if the picture is already finalized after game one of the doubleheader, then the Mets and Braves would not play the second game Monday. So the Padres could, I guess, in a way, help the Braves and the Mets, and that's probably the team that they're going to be playing. You know, as of right now, they're playing the Mets. So if the Padres are able to eliminate the Diamondbacks over the weekend, then the Mets won't have to play, or the Braves or the Mets won't have to play that second game. And it'll save them a little bit. But that's the situation right now.
I'm like the Joker in this situation. Why? We need as much chaos as humanly possible.
I like chaos.
I love chaos. And I love chaos when it doesn't affect my ball club. And right now, this is chaos for the Mets and the Braves. We've discussed this a lot off air, obviously, with Adam being our resident Braves fan and saying it's BS. It is BS. The fact that they would make a Major League Baseball team potentially have to play two games on Monday and then travel late Monday night to a location that neither team knows where they're going. and potentially one to Milwaukee, one to San Diego, vice versa. The Diamondbacks could potentially be waiting around to see where they have to go. Three teams in limbo the day before they're supposed to play a playoff game, which we know they're not going to just purposely put the two National League games at night.
Yeah.
Right? They usually stagger, but we'll see. Maybe that will be the saving grace for these teams with the commissioner, but we know that that's not necessarily the best decisions come out of that office over there in New York.
No.
But it's a problem for probably three teams. So right now I'm hoping that you go over the weekend, and whatever the results need to be with the Diamondbacks and the Padres, the Atlanta Braves and the Kansas City Royals and the New York Mets and the Milwaukee Brewers, I hope it's a situation where there's no guarantee the Diamondbacks are in the playoffs unless something happens in Monday's game, and they're all kind of around the same spot and tied where that last game matters, because I think it's only going to be a benefit to the Padres in more ways than one. And it's not just the Braves with the amount of games they're going to have to play, because they might miss Friday's game in Atlanta with Kansas City. That affects Kansas City, who's battling for a playoff spot. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this that in terms of seeding, and you probably won't know where everybody's going until after the conclusion of the second game on Monday.
You know, back when I was doing pre and post game before Sam Levitt came here, we had a game that the Padres played in Atlanta, and it got rained out. It was like a 5-hour rain delay. They finally rained it out. I came up with a solution for this, and it was to put a tarp over Truist Field in Atlanta. Adam, why does your team not have a roof on their stadium?
All stadiums should have retractable roofs.
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't know about all.
There's plenty of teams that don't have stadiums.
And it makes no sense to me, because they have to deal with all this chaos when one of their games
rains out. Are you trying to call out specific teams for not having domes, or are you saying all teams should have domes?
I don't think all teams. I like baseball being played outside, but in Atlanta,
so you just answer your question.
Retractable roofs.
No, but in Atlanta, it's a different circumstance, because they get a lot of rain during the summer, and they have a lot of rain outs.
It's hot. Retractable roofs, then you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, there you go.
Retractable roofs. Or it could be like SoFi, an open air facility.
This is like what we were talking about yesterday.
It's open air facility.
This is like what we were talking about yesterday, was separating the rookie of the year into a hitter and a pitcher. And you're like, this doesn't happen all the time. We shouldn't change the rules because it happened once. Just because there's a couple rain delays in the 2024 season doesn't mean every team in a certain geographic location needs to go out and build a new stadium or a new retractable dome.
I'll stitch some tarps together and send it down to True. Park,
even okay? If they had a dome, they probably wouldn't play anyway, because they have a state of emergency.
And
people
I see
gonna
the
go to
chat
games.
Saying, hey, it's a state. I know. We're just having fun with this conversation. Not everything has to be taken so seriously, people. When we get back here on Gwen and Chris, we are going to tell you the one Padres player that could be added to the postseason roster. So we'll reveal who that is when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This hour is brought to you by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credits. Matt Scraby, Braden Soprano, Adam Klug here on 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. Chris will be back next week. And Tony will be back with us tomorrow. Braden will also be joining us tomorrow for the final game between the Padres and the Dodgers. Okay, when I went to break, I said there's going to be a possible addition to the postseason roster for the Padres, and a lot of people guessed it on the chat. It would be Ha-Sung Kim. And from an update earlier from Kevin Acey, he said he's Kim's expected to work for the next few days at the Padres facility in Peoria and then join the team at Chase Field on Friday. They're not sure when he's going to be activated, if he's going to be activated Friday or if he's going to be activated for the postseason. But there is a lot of questions as to what will happen when Ha-Sung Kim comes back and if he gets back on this team, if he's ready to go. Major question is, where does he play? Does he play second base? Does he play shortstop? We briefly talked about it earlier, Braden, and both of us agreed that Xander should stay at shortstop. But where, I guess the better question for us is where can they put Ha-Sung Kim to, you know, give him the best chance at succeeding? Would it be second base or shortstop? I'm thinking second base because of his shoulder injury. You know, it's not going to be easy for him to throw across the diamond. He tried to throw a couple weeks ago, and they said that he couldn't make it from shortstop to first base. Not that he couldn't make it, but his arm wasn't as strong. So I would think second base might be the more natural position for him once he comes back with that injury.
Coming off the bench?
No. I mean, you move Jake back to first. You put Ha-Sung Kim second.
No, I'm saying
You want him to come off the bench?
I wouldn't start him. Absolutely not. I don't think you could just throw him back in the lineup. He's missed a significant amount of time. He's not a better hitter than the guys that are currently in the lineup, aside from the catcher, but you need the catcher in there anyway. But I'd still rather have Diaz in the lineup than Kim. I think he'd be a good defensive replacement late in the ball game. Maybe a pinch run guy. I mean, he's there for the vibes. They love the vibes.
He's there for the vibes.
But I just, you know, the way that everybody's hitting right now, I'm not, if I'm an opposing team, I'm not afraid of Ha-Sung Kim coming up to bat. I'm not.
No.
Not in a playoff game. I mean, right now your lineup's legit. You got good players all over the place, and I don't think Ha-Sung Kim's not a good player, but I don't think he's better than the guys that you currently have in the 7, 8, 9 spots. He would come off the bench. I wouldn't mess with anything.
I would like to amend my points or my decision on where he should play. If he comes back this weekend and gets some at bats, you may consider putting him in the lineup for the postseason. But if he does not come back this weekend to get any at bats, I'm not comfortable with him trying to get reacclimated to the game after being away for over a month in the postseason. It's just not something that I think many players would be good at, and it's not setting him up to succeed. So that's maybe, I'm thinking about this right now, maybe why he would come back this weekend.
I mean, I get him up to speed.
You can't get anything going on in the minor leagues right now. He's going to be thrown into the fire, and with the way he was hitting earlier this year, I'm not comfortable with throwing him into the fire in the postseason.
I'm not taking Solano out of the lineup. So, I mean, that's what I think it comes down to. I mean, I'd have a rise.
Are you comfortable with his first base play, though? Solano?
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about defense all you want, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to swing the stick. And teams that do well in the postseason swing the stick. The Phillies, the year they went to the World Series, were one of the worst defensive teams in baseball. They swung the stick. They made it to the World Series. You got to swing and you got to pitch. And if the pitching's good, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, the defense per se. And it's not even like Solano's like a major liability at first base. He does a solid job at first base, but you could also use probably a rise at first base if you really wanted to. I know a lot of people like having Jake Cronenworth at first, like, oh, he's a really great first baseman. Well, no S. The guy's a shortstop. If you put any shortstop in Major League Baseball at first base, he'd be a great first baseman. He's a shortstop. Of course he's great at first base. I don't think Kim, it's going to come down to, would you rather have Kim in the lineup or would you rather have Solano in the lineup? I think Solano's bat is more important than Ha-Seong Kim's defense, and I would have Solano in the lineup in the postseason. And then if you want to use defense late and you want to use a defensive replacement, you bring Kim in late into the game. You can reshuffle the infield if you want. Put Kim at shortstop. You can move Bogarts over to second. Cronenworth can play first. You get Solano out of there in the late innings when you need defensive players. I think that's worth, you know, what it is. I don't think Kim's a great base runner. But I don't really want to see him pinch run. And I don't want to hear Chris Ello bitch about it the next day if he gets thrown out of the base pass because of him pinch running.
And he would.
I don't think in a World Series level lineup, Ha-Seong Kim is a part of it from an offensive standpoint. I don't think his defense overcomes his bat compared to what the options currently are to have in the lineup with the bat.
I do agree with you. I do. I think that Donovan Solano has been someone, I mean, he's been in it for the last couple weeks, for the last more than a month. And Donovan Solano has come through for the Padres many times. This year, Ha-Seong Kim has struggled all the way around. He struggled at the plate, he struggled defensively, he struggled running the bases. So I'm glad I don't have to make these decisions. Because then, who are you going to take off the roster?
Yeah, you got to take somebody off the roster. Probably Nick Ahmed, I guess.
Well, you'll have to. Poor Nick Ahmed.
Is it 25 or 26 for the postseason? I don't remember.
It expands, right? Or does it go back down?
It expanded for the. For the
26. It says it was 25 prior to 2020.
All right, so
from MLB.com.
Yeah, it's 26 man roster, but it's up to 28 right now, isn't it? For September, don't you get like two extra roster spots?
Yes.
So it's back to 26. So you're going to have to take two guys off anyway.
So Lockridge and Ahmed probably.
I'd take Lockridge on a playoff roster.
He's a good base
pinch runner.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I trust him more on the base pass than what I've seen Ha-Seong Kim do this year, because there's been a couple times where we're like, what in the world is happening?
But you're going to have to take somebody off the roster. You're going to have to take two players. Ahmed's probably definitely off the roster, and then you'd have to find somebody else off the roster. Do you get to take Tyler Wade off after you've made the entire team the entire year?
No, Tyler Wade's too important to this team.
Well, then you got Lockridge, too.
Well,
that's going to be a tough decision for them. Do you want the pinch run? I mean, is somebody going to go on the injured list?
It's too bad we don't have like a Matt Carpenter on the team where it's just expendable, you know.
Yeah, I mean, your roster right now, it's not going to be Diaz or Higashioka. It's, you know, it's going to be probably Nick Ahmed, but then you need somebody else. And then if you add Kim, you're going to take a third person off the roster.
That is a good point. That's a lot of people to take off a roster. Honestly, I mean, usually you're making moves one or two guys, maybe three guys, but going into the postseason, I don't want to mess with the vibes. All right. That is it for Braden today. Thank you so much, Braden, for coming in and hanging out with us today. You'll be back with us tomorrow. We'll see what's happening with the Padres. But when we get back, I am going to talk to Sammy Lev. He's going to get the scene set up at Dodger Stadium. We're also going to go over, if we have time, some of the most important games of the year for Padres in regards to the championship leverage index. So that's all up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Really tell us how good they could be this season. I'm Zach Geld.
Final segment here on Gwen and Chris. Matt Scraby with you. Adam Klug still here with me. Braden Soprena is off and he is going to be doing his soccer play-by-play. So he'll be back tomorrow to help us finish up this Padre series against the Dodgers. We're going to check in with Sam Levitt here shortly in just a little bit. He is down or up at Dodger Stadium, and he will give us a little bit of what's going on up there. Rod on the chat says, quote, AJ Preller, HSK defense is a key to playoff run. Now, if he really did say that, it's going to put AJ Preller into a little bit of a corner, but we were just talking about whether or not Ha-Sung Kim should be put back in the lineup, come off the bench, and some were even saying in the chat that this, you know, Kim might not have, might not ever play a game as a Padre again, which is really dramatic, but we'll figure it out because on Friday, it should have some, we should have some decisions from the Padres on what they're going to do with Kim. Let's go to the phones real quick before we go to Sam Levitt. Mike in Carlsbad was, wants to talk about last night's game. So what's up, Mike? How are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you, Scraby?
Very, very good, especially after last night.
Good.
And now I understand that you were up there.
Yeah, so we'll start on Sunday. So my son and I have been to numerous Padres games. We are lifetime, like forever Padre fans. And he's 12, plays a lot of baseball. On Sunday, we were bummed because we couldn't make it to any of the games last week. And I said, hey, buddy, you want to go to? And he goes, yeah, let's go. Didn't even finish the sentence, okay? So we get tickets to go on Tuesday. My daughter, his twin sister, wants to go too. So the three of us go. We are sitting in the middle deck right at first base. And I can't make this up. About the fourth inning, my son looks at me and he goes, hey, Dad, have you ever seen a triple play live? I'm like, no. No, I've never seen a triple play. I don't even know if I've seen one on SportsCenter, right? And you know what happened.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that last inning, we're sitting there, and we're surrounded, of course, by Dodger fans, and they're going berserk. And I'm about ready to vomit, seeing what's probably inevitable. And that play happens, and I kid you not, you could hear a pin drop in that stadium. It was freaking awesome. And what was really cool, honestly, all these Dodger fans turned to me, and they went, wow, I got a couple high fives. I thought they were going to be pissed. They were smiling. They're like, did that really just happen? And they were just in shock.
Yeah.
And we walked out of that stadium peacefully, and no one gave us any crap. Got a bunch of high fives. You're like, wow, that was amazing.
Well, that's a great story, Mike. And that's something that you and your kids are going to remember for the rest of their lives. I mean, did you take him?
My son's going to tell his kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Did you take him out of school for this to get up there, or?
No, I picked him up at school, right at school,
okay.
And then we made it up.
Well, yeah. Hey, that is awesome and good dad points right there. And thank you, Mike, for calling, because I remember when I was a kid, there was a Monday Night Football game, 49ers against the Broncos. It was Steve Young against John Elway. Jerry Rice was making his return from an ACL injury, and he caught a touchdown. And I can tell you right now, that was one of the best memories of my childhood. And I think your memory, Mike, is going to be a little bit better because it had a triple play involved and it had the Padres clinching the playoffs. But I guarantee you that's something they remember for the rest of their lives. All right. Thank you, Mike, for the phone call. Time to go up to Dodger Stadium. But first, let's check our traffic report. Sammy Lev is with us. Sam, how did you survive last night? That was amazing stuff. I saw all of your content. I saw go to his Twitter, at Sammy Lev. You'll see a bunch of great videos. But how you doing, buddy?
Scraby, I'm doing well. Beautiful night here in L.A. Padres taking batting practice and getting ready for another big-time game here at Dodger Stadium. Crowd filing in. It is a Clayton Kershaw bobblehead night. So typically what's known to be as a late arriving crowd. I think here a little bit earlier here tonight because of the bobblehead giveaway. But as far as last night, I mean, it was obviously a tremendous ending. As you can see, for those watching on YouTube, I had a poncho on, ready to go. Really, that poncho was useless. And I realized later in the night as we were in the clubhouse, like all the veterans, you know, the AJ Cassavilles, the Kevin Aces, the Dennis Lins, Bob Scanlon, Mudd, Tony, included, you know, nobody's got ponchos on. They just, you know, they get wet. So I think hopefully when I'm in there the next time, yeah, no poncho. Just made things a little bit more difficult. But it was a great time, good celebration. This team deserves it. And now they have to turn the page and focus on tonight. And I felt like last night those guys understood that already, that there is still work to be done. I think this team understands the opportunity they have in front of them here tonight and tomorrow and what it could possibly mean. And certainly they've got a guy in Dylan Cease on the mound today who could deliver a big time outing. He was sensational in that last start against the Astros. So last night was fun, but I think officially right now all the focus on today's game.
Yeah, and that's very true, because Yu Darvish even was a guy who was like, I'm done celebrating. I got to go prepare for my start. Dylan Cease, same way. But, I mean, let's put it into perspective that the beginning of this season, I don't think anyone really thought the Padres were going to be competing for the division title at the end of the year. Possibly, but most likely not. Yeah. And now they're on track. If they win out, they're going to win 96 games on the season. Like, how incredible has this run been?
Yeah, I think the second half in particular has been just outstanding. I mean, talk about a team just firing on all cylinders. And you're right, sitting at 91 wins with five games remaining. I don't know that a lot of us, even after the trades for season arise and watching the up and down nature of the first half, I don't know that any of us could have predicted this team to win 90-plus games, and if they do play really well in the final five games, win in the mid-90s in games. So it's a testament to this team, the way they've gelled, the way they've played, the moves that A.J. Preller has made, not just before the season, but during the season, at the trade deadline, fortifying this bullpen, getting guys like Solano and Peralta in here, pushing the right button with Jackson Merrill, knowing that he was ready at a spring training. I caught up with AJ last night, and I'll tell you, the more and more I think about it, that guy deserves a ton of credit for the way he put this team together and how well they've played. What a cohesive unit it's been. So it's been a little bit of everything, Scraby. I mean, this team's just playing really well. Every phase, starting pitching, relief pitching, offense, they've hit all year. It's hard right now. No matter what happens tonight and tomorrow here in LA, look, if they can win tonight, it sets up just a super intense game tomorrow.
Yes.
And then you see what happens in Arizona. You see what happens tomorrow first. But regardless of what happens, I mean, I think if you're a Padres fan right now, you have got to be feeling really good and really confident with where they're at now. The wild card series, it's tough. It's a three-game series, and you get off to a bad start in game one. All of a sudden, your backs could be against a wall. But I think if you're a Padres fan, if you're listening in San Diego right now, A, you should be really proud of what this group has been and what they've accomplished. But you should be really excited about the potential of this group. I mean, this is a group that can hang with anybody, to me. And they're proving it day in, day out right now.
And you got all the talking heads out there saying that the Padres are the most dangerous ones that are that teams should be worried to face in the playoffs. And I think last night kind of showed me, you know, AJ's moves for Tanner Scott and Jason Adam. I want to focus in on Tanner Scott, because Shohei Ohtani has been the hottest hitter on the planet here in the last month. And he came out, he doubled on the first pitch off of Michael King. And you thought, okay, this is going to be a Shohei Ohtani game again. And then he walked in his next appearance. Then he made an out on a great catch by Jerickson Profar. But here's where I think it proves why A.J. Preller deserves more credit. Because the left-handed Scott, why did I forget? Tanner Scott, duh. He came in and he struck out Shohei Ohtani on three pitches. You go lefty against lefty, great pitcher against the best hitter in the game, and Tanner Scott won that battle. And that proves to me why AJ Preller needs more credit.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's talk about that seventh inning, because before the triple play, Scraby, I think you can make the argument when they're leading 4-1. In the seventh inning last night, when Scott comes in, he gives up a base hit to Gavin Lux, then the double play off the bat of Rojas, then he strikes out Ohtani. Before that triple play, you could very well make the argument that the double play off the bat of Rojas to make it two outs and nobody on for Ohtani was the play of the game. I'm being serious.
Yeah, yeah.
You think about what the situation is. If Rojas gets on there, then you got Ohtani up. Two on, nobody out, Betts behind him, Freeman behind Betts. Even if you don't get two outs there. Then you still got Ohtani with Betts, the tying run, waiting on deck. I thought, aside from the triple play last night, Scott getting through that inning after giving up the leadoff hit and getting that double play out of the nine spot from Rojas, I thought that was massive. Look, it's going to be interesting moving forward, as you mentioned, and talk about Tanner Scott to, you know, see what they do with the ninth inning in save situations.
Yeah, let's
right
talk
now.
About that.
Yeah, we'll play what Mike Schultz had to say earlier today. He used the term interchangeable parts when talking about the bullpen, and I do get the sense. Now, we saw Suarez last night, but I do get the sense that this is going to be about moving forward where the lane is in that particular part of the lineup. It may not be about, oh, it's the seventh inning, it's time for Scott. Oh, it's the eighth inning, it's time for Adam. Oh, it's the ninth inning, it's time for Suarez. I'm starting to get a real feeling that it's going to be much more about where in the lineup are you, where is the lane for all three of those guys, and where do they make sense, and not so much about it's the seventh inning time for this guy, eighth inning time for this guy. That might be something, you know, you'd see in the regular season in June if Suarez was struggling. But right here, right now, as we come down the final stretch, I think you may start to see that a lot more of where guys fit in the final few innings rather than the inning dictating who's coming in. So it's going to be fascinating. Bullpen, for the most part, has been great. Look, the bullpen was great last night,
yeah,
Scraby.
Of course,
I mean, aside from the three hits given up by Suarez to start that ninth inning, it was great. So I know, very long answer.
No,
I
you're good.
That all different kinds of directions. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the Padres operate the back end of this bullpen in the final five games of the regular season. And but no doubt they have a luxury of options back there, which is, like you said originally, a credit to A.J. Preller and what he did at the deadline.
So we have the lefty situation figured out with Tanner Scott. Now, if we're going into the ninth inning and it's a righty-righty-righty, we need a righty matchup, are we going Jason Adam or are we going Robert Suarez at this point? I know we just kind of talked about it, but I think there's an argument to be made that Jason Adam might be the better choice at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about Adam is he gets righties and lefties out, right? Again, I think, look, Robert and Adam are both good options to have out of your bullpen. Would it shock me to see a Robert Suarez come in a high leverage spot in the seventh inning and the Padres save Adam for later in the game, maybe even a save opportunity in a game coming up? No, it would not shock me based on what's being said right now in that term interchangeable parts when it comes to the back end of this bullpen. So, look, I think the misconception when people have talked about some of the struggles Suarez has experienced, I mean, he's not going to be relegated to mop-up duty. I mean, so if he's not pitching the ninth inning, well, it's going to be somewhere else. I mean, even
somewhere
if it's a little bit
leverage.
Earlier. Yeah, I mean, to me, he's going to come in close games and high leverage spots, probably when you have a lead. I mean, forget about the order for a second. And that's why I think it is very, very important, regardless of if he's pitching the ninth inning or the eighth inning or the seventh inning, they got to get Robert Suarez back on track because he's very important to this bullpen, regardless of what inning he's pitching in.
Very true. A reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt next on 97.3 The Fan. That gets started at 6:10. Last one for me, Sam. We were just talking about the news that Ha-Seong Kim may be rejoining the team here in Arizona or for the postseason. He's definitely going to meet back up with the team in Arizona. So our conversation was, what do you do with him? Braden wanted to have him come off the bench. I sort of said maybe you put him at second base because of the injury to his shoulder. But the more I think about it, the more I think that the coming off of the bench is the best thing. But what are your initial thoughts on where Ha-Seong Kim should go once he gets put back on this roster?
Well, I think you bring up a really interesting point, and I had this conversation with Annie and Elston earlier today. We didn't really touch on this part of it. You know, is he is Kim with the throwing to a point where he can play the infield, right? Like, I would assume he's not going to be back on this roster unless he can confidently make a throw from shortstop, right, if he's got to play there.
Yeah.
So let's assume that he's healthy enough to play the infield. I don't see the Padres, and I don't think they should. I don't see them moving Xander back to second and now flip-flopping that. I really don't. I think Xander probably stays at shortstop. That's not for sure. Who knows? Maybe he goes to second base. But I would be hesitant to move Xander back after you've already moved him back to short and he's had to transition now a couple of times. I see Kim likely as somebody who's either in somewhat of a platoon with Jake. You know, maybe he's facing left-handed pitching, or he's somebody coming off the bench, and he's coming in for defense, and he's pinch-hitting, and he's an option to start. I don't know that you're taking Jake out of this lineup half the time right now. So it's going to be interesting. It really is, because I think a lot of us have operated as of late like Kim's not coming back based on the schedule. But we'll see. I would not move Xander, though, from shortstop and back to second base again. That's me. I wouldn't do it. But who knows? We'll see what happens.
Well, you are a smart guy, so I'll listen to you, Sam.
Yeah, I'm not as smart as the guys in that dugout.
What's coming up on the pregame show?
Coming up on the pregame show, we'll hear from Mike Schilt. We'll hear from Fernando Tatis Jr., and I had a good 4 or 5 minutes with Jeremiah Estrada as well. Really good stuff from Jeremiah, who, by the way, you want to talk about big moments in last night's game, comes in the sixth inning, 4-1 game, two on, tying run at the plate, and Tommy Edman threw one pitch, got a pop-up. And that was it. And Estrada was really important in that game. And he's been a big part of this bullpen, and he's been really good as of late. So Jeremiah, he grew up in the Coachella Valley, you know, is very familiar with the Dodgers and the Padres in this area. So it was actually his first appearance here at Dodger Stadium last night. So he was telling me about that, how cool it was to have last
that
night and
awesome.
What the game was. So, yeah, good stuff with him. And we'll talk with Jesse as well coming up in a bit.
All right. Thank you so much, Sam. Everybody, stay tuned and listen to the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show starting at 6:10 p.m. Sammy Lev, the hardest working guy in Padres radio. He's always doing stuff. Thank you, Sam. All right. We just have a few minutes left here on the Gwen and Chris program on 97.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.